Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music that we enjoyed tonight, ministered to. What a blessing it's been. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Hosea, right after the book of Daniel. Daniel will be the last of the major prophets. There's four of the major prophets and then 12 of the minor prophets. And Hosea would be the first of the minor prophets that is presented to us in the scriptures. As we're going through and dividing up the Bible, the divisions of the Bible, and we've already studied the law, which is the first five books. We've studied the history of the nation of Israel. That's the next 12 books. The poetical books is six books, and prophecy, 16 books of prophecy as we're looking into the Old Testament. Now, here we find Hosea. Again, he was a prophet to Israel, mainly before the Assyrian captivity. He is preaching the word of God to the people of God in the promised land, while they're still in the promised land. That is God's will for their lives. But they took that for granted. They took God's blessings for granted. And we find that Hosea was sent by God to preach to them and warn them of what would take place if they did not turn back to the Lord. And so most of the time we find that we read the prophets, that's what they are. They're preachers in the Old Testament. They are those who are getting the message from God and taking it and presenting it to the people of God. And so Hosea is a little bit different slant on Hosea's ministry. And we'll be getting into that tonight concerning just what God had him do and what God allowed to happen in preparing Hosea to be the preacher that God wanted him to preach to the people of Israel. And so go ahead and stand with me tonight. We're going to be reading chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son." Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you that we can know that we have your eternal word written down, preserved for us, that we might learn from it. We thank you for every book of the Bible. As we divide them up in divisions and looking back to the Old Testament and preparing humanity for the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we'll look into those first four books of the New Testament that gives us the life of the Savior that we might look to, and then we find the rest of the New Testament is giving us instructions on how we are to live awaiting His soon return. Lord, help us to have just a better understanding of your word. I pray that you would anoint the preaching and the teaching once again this evening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. As we understand how God works, and if you will, the DNA of God, once you understand God and a truth from God, that'll never change. God is unchangeable. That means he's immutable. That means he'll never change. So once you learn something that is biblical fact about God, it will always be the same. He will not change that. And as we study the Old Testament, it helps us to understand a little bit more about the God that loved us enough to send his only begotten son. And now we see the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. I mean, he presents himself and he preaches the word of God to us himself. And so it's a blessing. And I think it would be even a greater blessing we get into the New Testament. But as we look at the Old Testament, it can be very confusing unless you understand the things that God would have us to understand. God is preparing humanity for the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus Christ would make and has made some 2,000 years ago. And as he did this, he would go through and he would have a chosen people and understanding. We've gone through the history of Israel and all the things are laid out there concerning how God chose the nation of Israel to represent him to the world. And as he chose them, how the commandments he gave them and how they were instructed to live would reveal things about the true God. And Israel would be the only ones that would have a true God, the Creator God, as their God. And so he wanted to work through the nation of Israel just to present who he is to the world. So now we look back and we study this, we can learn much about who God is. And like I said, once you learn a truth about God, you'll have that forever. It'll never change. Amen. One of the things that God does is before he uses individuals, before he uses servants, he prepares them. And if you'll look back over the Old Testament, every one of those that God that it is written about, that God worked through, you'll find that God prepared them to a certain degree, a certain way. For David, it was being a shepherd boy and experiencing a lot of things as a shepherd boy that he would have never thought he could have experienced, being able to kill a bear and a lion with his bare hands. As a ruddy young teenager going up against the mighty Goliath and defeating him without ever having a fear of what was before him. I mean, sitting underneath Saul who tried to kill him and all the different things that he learned as he ran from Saul, all this was preparing David to be the king that God wanted him to be over Israel. And we could go on and on and on about each and every one of those that God would use. In the prophets, Hosea is a little bit confusing. As a matter of fact, there's several different beliefs and interpretation concerning the verses that we've just read. Different thinking on this. First of all, there's a thinking of he told Hosea to go marry a harlot named Gomer. Now, if you read the scriptures, and that's what Hosea says. Now, after we find exactly what Hosea, the time that Hosea was prophesying, verse 1, then in verse 2 it says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And now Hosea is going to fill us in on what has taken place from the very beginning as he was being prepared to preach to Israel, and then he'll present to us what he preached to Israel. It's written down in the book of Hosea. And he says, the Lord said unto Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and the children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredoms departing from the Lord. Now, that's something that would somewhat go against what we would believe that God would have us to do if we read that as it is presented. So there are some that would say, no, this is exactly what God has told Hosea to do. And that's what Hosea does. He experiences much in marrying a ungodly wife and having ungodly children. He experienced much through her unfaithfulness. And God was preparing him for that. Another would be, and I would tend more to this, and we'll give you an explanation of that later on, but after having peace about marriage, even though God knew what Gomer would do, later was then instructed on what to write by God, understanding why God allowed it. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So the one is, okay, he's already a prophet, he's a servant of God, and he's not married, and God tells him to go marry someone that is unfaithful, that doesn't love God, that's living a lifestyle of sin. And like I said, if you read that, that's somewhat what it seems to be. But if you understand what took place, God was preparing him. He wasn't a prophet in the beginning. He wasn't a prophet until God prepared him. And then after God prepared him, then he was instructed now on taking the message to Israel. If he had not experienced a life with Gomer that he did, he would not have been prepared to be used by God with the message that God wanted to work through him to the nation of Israel. And so Hosea did not write this down until possibly toward the end of his life when he's looking back over it, and then he understands all of what God had done for him. And no doubt as a believer in God, as he and Gomer met each other and God gave him peace about marrying her, he did not know what she would eventually do. But knowing that God is omniscient, he knows all things. He might have been wondering, why would you give me peace about marrying a woman that is going to eventually be a prostitute who would leave me and the children? During that time, he would have a hard time trying to figure out, why is this happening? I had peace about this marriage. And now this marriage is falling apart. And it wasn't I did not want her to leave. I tried to be the husband that she needed and God wanted me to be. But something happened inside of her and she left me and the children just to seek a life of, in her mind, pleasure. Well, now with that happening, now Hosea is writing it down. And as he writes it down, he says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. He says, now I understand everything. I know why everything took place. It took place in my life. I have hindsight now. I can go back and I can see why God gave me peace about this. And so he says, now I'm going to write it down. And he said, and the Lord said, Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredoms, departing from the Lord. He says, I understand now that he allowed this because of what he was preparing me to do and to be. He was instructed later by God to write with the understanding of why God allowed it. Whichever it really was, God doesn't tell us exactly. He does give us insight as we go through the book of Hosea, some things, and we'll be looking at that as we go through it as well. But the one thing we do know, we know what this marriage pictured. So in knowing what this marriage pictured helps us to have a better understanding of how it could have happened. We know as we read the book of Hosea that God will picture Hosea as that husband in love with a wife and family as God. God's love for Israel. Gomer would represent Israel, who forsook the Lord, sought after other gods, got involved in idolatry, was blinded to who God was blinded to Israel's need for a creator God, wanted to have the multiple gods that everyone else had in the world, wanted to serve gods that would let them do whatever they wanted to do and enjoy whatever they wanted to enjoy without conviction or chastisement or judgment. That would represent Israel. That was Gomer. And then each child. As we study that the children, the three children that they would have, it would reveal what the future held, what happened to Israel, what would happen later on to God's chosen people. So I want to give you an outline here of the book of Hosea, and I don't know how much of the outline we're actually going to be getting into, maybe just touching certain things, but I want to spend most of my time in chapters 1 through 3 in God preparing Hosea. But that's the first. That's the first we have here. The first three chapters of Hosea is God preparing Hosea for the work that God has called him to. Chapters 4 through 7, now he is using Hosea to preach against Israel's sins, to tell Israel what you're doing wrong, to reveal the sins that they were engaged in. Chapters 8 through 10, he is now pronouncing the judgment. If Israel was not going to turn away from this idolatrous affairs with the right ways of the world and the gods of the world, if Israel was not going to turn away from them, then Israel would be judged and taken into captivity where they would become slaves. And then chapters 11 through 14, Israel's restoration. The love of God that had a desire to bring Israel back into his life. To restore a marriage, which would have been Hosea and Gomer. That's what we find. So understanding what it pictures, we can better now as we go through it understand just what is happening with this marriage. First of all, there was a love at first by both. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. They got married. I don't think, as I've mentioned before, I don't think anybody goes into marriage hating the person they're getting ready to marry. They don't stand before God and their friends and family and looking each other in the face with feelings of hatred toward that individual. They made their vows. They made their vows. And I believe that when they made the vows, as much as they could be held accountable to that, they believed them. No one was forcing this relationship, but they would have wanted to make vows to each other and come together and be committed to a marital relationship. That would picture what it would be in the very beginning. We look at Israel and God. We look at the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis in chapter 12. The beginning of this relationship with Abraham, which would later on become the nation of Israel through his offspring. And God makes a covenant with Abraham. And they both realize there is expectations in this relationship. And God says, as long as you continue to do what I would have you to do, and these are my expectations of you, as long as you will do that, then you can expect from me this and this and this. We're going into this relationship and we're making vows to each other, and it's a commitment that we have. It's a marital commitment. And they had that. Abraham was willing to leave everything to follow this relationship that he has now with God. As God reveals to him how he is going to bless him, and all the families of the world will be blessed through the seed of Abraham. And it's a commitment that they have one with another, and what a blessing it was. Then they go to Jacob. And Jacob, then he would have his 12 children, which he then would become Israel and the 12 tribes of Israel. And they would have to make the very same covenant agreement that Abraham did. Eventually, we would find that God would use Moses with the nation of Israel once they got to a certain power, a certain number. And God says, now I'm going to send Moses to my people. And as long as he reveals to them, as long as they commit to serving me, I'm going to get them through the wilderness. I'm going to prepare them for the promised land. And I'm going to give them the promised land, the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. But these are the responses. These are the commitments. This is what you're going to have to do, Israel, if you're going to make it through the wilderness. This is what you're going to have to do before I'm going to be able to bless you as I want to bless you. This is a covenant that we're going to make. And they renewed that covenant over and over again. Joshua led them to renew that covenant going into the land of Canaan. But in the promised land, there was major apostasy and idolatry. They didn't fulfill their part in getting rid of all the idols and all the false gods. And they eventually were overpowered by what God told them would happen, happened. The people and the gods became more of an influence on them than they were to the people. And Israel now is starting to turn away from God and starting to serve other gods. Hosea being prepared to be used, was experiencing what God experienced with Israel. In chapter 2, verse 5, look there with me. Following me tonight, understanding this. Now Hosea, because now he's married this wife, and at first they're loving each other. They have three children. They're establishing this home, and they're agreeing on how they're going to live their lives. And then, somewhere out of nowhere, after giving him three children, she bolts. I don't want to end this relationship any longer. I'm missing out on something, and I don't want to miss out on pleasures, and I don't want to miss out on what might be out there for me, and so I don't want to be married any longer. I'm going to go, and I'm going to experience whatever I want to experience. Basically, Gomer would leave Hosea in pursuit of pleasure. Chapter 2, look at verse 5. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Really? Those who you're turning away from God to go to are going to supply your need? You think they're going to love you like God loved you? You think they're going to be better to you than what Hosea was to you? You see, she would be blinded to who it was that loved and provided for her. She would be blinded to her need for an almighty creator God. Wow. Look down to verse 7. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn. She did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Blinders. Can I tell you that so many are blinded today by the devil, and through he uses the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, pride of life. He uses the world, all the different things. And he uses this thought, there's something you're missing out on. There's more than what you have now. Don't deprive yourself. Don't stay in a relationship that you don't want to stay in. Don't be committed to marriage. What's marriage? What's a commitment? You don't have to be committed. You can do whatever you want to do and go toward whatever you feel like doing. You can do that. You can experience whatever you want to experience and just turn away from God, and it'll open up a whole new life that's going to bring you all the pleasures that you've ever desired. What a lie. How deceitful. But that's what is preparing Hosea. He sees her turning, and nothing he can do about it. He sees her walk out the door and not return this free will. Well, so Gomer would leave Hosea in pursuit of pleasures. She would experience chastisement and loss. You see, sin is only pleasurable for a season. You can find the pleasure of sin for a season. But if you're saved, it's not going to last. Because you're a child of God's. And we find here in verse 6, the Bible says, "Therefore, behold, I will hedge up the way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths." God said, "You made a commitment to me. You are mine." Hosea was looking to Gomer and he says, "I married you and we made vows to each other. And you're not going to enjoy. It's not going to be the way you think it's going to be." Verse 12, he says, "And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she has said, 'These are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall eat them.'" He said, "No, that's not going to happen." She would experience chastisement and loss. In chapter 2, verse 14 down to verse 23, it reveals Hosea's heart with a desire to reconcile with her, even after what she did to him, which is actually a reflection of God's heart for humanity, God's heart for Israel. Verse 14, it says, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and seek comfortably unto her, speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt." Now that was his heart. That's God's desire. I want to bless her. I don't want to have to judge her. That was Hosea. I love her. I want her to come back. And I will do whatever I can to make it right with her, to make her want to stay, to help her, to see the reality of things. And that's why I believe that she was not that way before they got married, because what he says, "I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth." Meaning that in the days of her youth, she had right thinking. In the days of her youth, she'd been raised right. She was not that type of a girl. "And as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt," she was a believer. She was saved. She was someone who committed to God. And he sees that and he says, "I know she can be that person." And so it reveals his heart in wanting to have her back and restore that relationship. Chapter 3 and verse 1-3, we find where she's at and what he does. Gomer now is a slave. Somewhat like the prodigal, she reached the very end. And now she's on an auction block to be sold to whoever would bid the highest. In chapter 3, verse 1, "Then said the Lord unto me, 'Go yet, love a woman loved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine.'" So now he's telling him to go to her. "So I bought her. I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley." So now God's telling him, and he's saying, go to her. She's going to be, she's come to the end of her rope. She will now make you the wife that you're looking for. And you can go and purchase her. And in purchasing her, you're redeeming her. In purchasing her, you're salvaging her life. And in purchasing her, she's being brought back to you, and you can be reconciled. "And I said unto her," after he purchased her, he said, "This is my condition. This is what I'm expecting of you now. And I said unto her, 'Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. And so will I also be for thee.'" What a great picture. Even after all that she did, after destroying her life and could have destroyed his life and the children's life, but he still loved her. He still wanted her for himself. And now he's instructed by God to go, and he shows her where she's at, And he goes, and there she is, worn and beaten and withered and on an auction block. And he purchases her. And he said, learn, from now on, be my wife, and I'll be your husband. We can have future blessings. There's no indication that Gomer was ever unfaithful to Hosea again. Now Hosea is ready to address Israel and representing God. Wow. Because now he knows exactly how God feels. He knows exactly how much God loves Israel. He knows what the sins of Israel will do. He knows the judgment that will come down upon them. He knows the end results. And now he is prepared to be the prophet that God wants him to be because it is in him. If you're going to be, if you're going to represent God, and if you're going to be the servant that God wants you to be, and how whatever area of ministry, whatever part that God has for you to play in serving him, you have to have God in you. You've got to see the necessity for that position. You have to see how God wants to work in and through you to make a difference in whatever ministry that he's called you to. That is God preparing you for your life's work. Boy, I could go back and I know now. I'm 62, going on 62 years old, and I look back and I seen as a young boy how God was working to prepare me. I see now as a teenager how God was allowing things into my life and how God was preparing me. I look at a young man, I look to my marriage, I look to raising children, I look to everything that God has worked in my life to prepare me to do what I'm doing today. And that's only God. But that's God's DNA. Look back over your life. God has either caused or allowed everything that's happened to you to happen. And everything God has caused or allowed had a purpose in preparing you to be a vessel that he can work through. Second Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to quit. I'm going to be done. Second Corinthians in chapter 1. In verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Did you get a hold of that? It says God allows you to experience things so he can come and give you the victory. So he can come and help you to overcome that trial. He can help you to overcome whatever happened in your life. He can help you to see the good. And once you learn how God was able to help you to overcome, you are now prepared to help everyone else that you will meet the rest of your life to help them to overcome as God helped you to overcome. Everything that you've experienced in your life, and if you look to God, and God has worked through that to strengthen us, because trials strengthen us. As we go through trials, it's able to get rid of the dross and present us as pure gold. It helps us to be better prepared to be used by an almighty God. And so as we are used by God, whatever it is that God did to help us is something that now we have. And God wants you to use it to help others. Hosea would go now with the heart of God as he would stand before the children of Israel. And every time he would go to preach, he would be reminded, God loves them as I loved my wife. Chapters 4 through 7, Hosea went out preaching, proclaiming Israel's sins. Chapters 8 through 10, he goes out, presents the judgment pronounced. If you don't turn from your sin, this is what you're doing wrong. This is what's happening. This is sin. This is against God. And he'd go back out, he wrote. Then he said, if you're not going to turn, this is what's going to happen. You think that you're going to enjoy life, you're not going to enjoy pleasures. It's all a facade. It's all something that Satan's blinding you to. It's going to lead to destruction. And if you don't turn, you're going to be destroyed. And God is going to bring in the Chaldeans, and he is going to allow the heathen to defeat you and occupy your lands, burn down your buildings, burn down the temple, and take you into captivity. Not that he wants to do that, but because you have provoked him to do that. Then chapters 8 through 10, he would preach to them God's, or 11 through 14, he would preach to them Israel's restoration. Matter of fact, let's go there and we'll close. Hosea chapter 14. Now he's able to preach to them what God would have him to preach to them. In chapter 14, he says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquities. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them. Verse 9, who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. You have two choices. Humanity always has. You can walk in God's ways and find God's blessings and fellowship. Or you can turn to them and feel the righteous judgment of God. All of this seen through Hosea's relationship with his wife, preparing him to present God's message. What a great book of the Bible. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. That's God's DNA. Can I tell you that no matter what you've gone through, if you look to God, something good can come out of it? How could something good come out of Gomer doing this to her husband and her children and living this kind of... I trust that you understand how God worked that, turned that around. And how God used it to prepare Gomer, to prepare Hosea. I don't know what God is using in your life. Don't let Satan have the victory any longer. Turn it over to God. Surrender to being used as God would have you to be used. and accomplishing His will. Father, we bow before You tonight. We love You. Thank You for the book of Hosea. And Lord, and just the understanding of this book and helping us to make these applications, these spiritual applications, these principles that need to be understood by Your people. Pray tonight, God, that You'd work in our midst. Give each one that help that they have need of tonight. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.